with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Film reviews and movie news.
It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink, and a man who's watched more film footage this year than the guy doing VAR. It's Mark Searby.
Hello, and that is very true, actually. That is very true.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a lot of footage.
That's a lot of footage. That's well, a lot of...
I sometimes think the VR guy ain't looking, but we won't go into that.
Don't get me started on that. Don't get me started. No, no, we're here for films. Let's not get my anger up. We're here for best movies. Movies that we've really liked, not movies that we've hated. We don't do that.
There were some. We did enjoy a few.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it was kind of an interesting year, to be honest with you, when you think about it. We knew that there would be sort of a backlog of movies based on, obviously, the 2020 shutdowns due to the coronavirus in Hollywood, basically. Yeah. You know, they shut those down.
The bottleneck going on.
Yeah, so this year was very sporadic with a lot of movies, and obviously some movies got pushed back, some movies dropped onto streaming rather than being in cinemas, and some movies came out and did nothing, and some movies came out and did huge numbers. I'm looking at Top Gun Maverick. You know, so it's been a strange year.
It still feels like we're in sort of like a kind of uncharted territory post COVID. Like,
we are absolutely. You're right. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And the thing is, obviously, now things have changed. That movies are, if they're in the cinemas, they're going to home viewing, whether it's digital download, whether it's on a streaming platform, whether it's DVD and Blu-ray, earlier and earlier. Now, you're talking...
Yeah, like
for
a week
most
or so.
Movies, yeah, well, for most movies, it's normally 6 weeks. However, there are some that have obviously extended that. You know, Top Gun Maverick took months to get there. There's some that have been shorter than that. Some have had 4 weeks. So... this year has really seen the effects of what happened from, you know, the coronavirus lockdowns. I think it's certainly changed the industry a lot this year.
Whether it's
for good, I don't know. That's something that we will only be able to look at through time. But I'm not saying that we haven't had good films. We've had some good films. We've had some really good films, actually.
Oh, we have had some good ones. We have. So
we have.
We've been carefully or painfully compiling our list of top films. You've got 10. I've settled on 5, so we'll leave the others. I was going to have an argument with myself. Before we do that, we've been doing this, our film chats for ages on Phoenix FM. But we've now done more than a year of podcast episodes as well, with our podcast extras. So I thought I'd run through some stats. You know, Spotify do their Spotify Wrapped thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I've got some statistics on the podcast, which I know you love statistics, Mark.
I do love stats. I do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So together, when we got our Spotify Wrapped through, it tells us that we created 1,142 minutes of new content.
Wow.
That's a lot of chat, isn't it?
That's a lot of talking.
I think I may have talked to you more than anyone this year.
I apologise to anybody who has listened to every single one. I mean, that's a lot of me talking. That's a lot of you talking.
That's a lot of minutes, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So if ever you feel like no one's listening to you, they're probably not, but keep talking.
Thanks. Yeah. What other stats are on there then? Tell me a couple of others.
I've got here our top 5 countries that we were listened to. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we were listened to in 28 different countries.
Wow.
That's a lot of world, isn't it? I ain't been to 28 different countries.
Yes, 28. Wow, thank you.
I'm entirely sure I'd know there were 28 countries, but lots of people.
Me neither.
Thank
you.
Can you guess who's in our top 5 countries listening to us on this podcast?
Well, UK.
Yes, well done. I'm surprised you guessed that one.
UK. Germany?
No, not in the top 5. Probably in the 28, I would hope.
America?
Yes, the US of A is number 5.
Okay.
3 more countries.
I don't know. This is the thing. I mean, I want to say like Sweden or Norway.
No, none of those two.
Really?
In the top 5.
Okay.
Think World Cup final.
France.
Yes, number two.
Really?
Number two, our second most popular country. We are listening to in
France. What's number one? I'm not going to get it. Go on.
So number one is UK. Number two is France. They love us in France. Yeah. Merci beaucoup. Number three is Argentina.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Most listened to UK, France, Argentina, Mexico, and the United States of America.
Wow.
How awesome is that? So thank you to our international listeners.
Thank you to our international listeners. Thank you to our UK listeners as well. Thank you to anybody who's tuned in at any point throughout the year. That's
blown. We've travelled the world together. Blown away.
Sat in the same seats we've sat in all year.
Yes, whilst talking for a thousand odd minutes.
Yes.
Sitting down.
Yeah. Wow, that's some stats. Thank you. Thank you to everybody who's listened. That's really heartwarming, that is.
Yeah, that blew my mind. Yes, well done, well done. Thank you for being a part of it. I would say my highlight of 2022 and doing these chats with you was probably the amount of excitement that you portrayed and got into talking about Idris Elba fighting a lion a few weeks ago. For me, of all of those 1,000 minutes, I think you spent about 100 of them.
the film was beast and Idris Elba actually fought a lion. I mean, it was a CGI lion, but genuinely he fought a lion. Like he was punching it and kicking it. It was a proper old-fashioned scrap, you know, that was the thing. And
yeah.
I honestly, when it happened, when I saw it, I was just a massive smile came across my face, because I was like, I am loving this and I cannot wait to tell people about it. It's so much fun. So I'm pleased you enjoyed that. You know, that's the thing. When you see movies like that, when you see something like that and you get that emotional response, whether it's laughter or whether it's crying or whether it's, somewhere in between, it shows the power of movies. That's the thing. And Idris Elba fighting a lion, the power of movies.
That's it. Where else would you see that?
Unless exactly.
Idris Elba went to a zoo and fell in, but you don't want to see it.
Wow.
Brilliant. Wow.
Yeah, well, thanks for that. Yes, yes. I mean, my highlight for you would be the fact that a couple of times you've mentioned that you might even try a horror movie. And I'm like, oh.
So I know. I'm building a list for when I'm feeling brave.
Yes, please do. Yeah, maybe 2023 will be your year to dip your toe in the horror.
Just go full horror.
Yeah.
Like, he's top 10 this year. It's ridiculous. It's just
horrifying. He's really embraced the horror, really embraced it.
Yes. He brings a meat cleaver to work every day. Yeah. It's just...
But look, we're talking about next year, but we should talk about this year, shouldn't we?
Yes, let's do it. Yes. Let's do it. It's a big year. There's been so good ones.
You've picked a few. I've picked a few as well. So look, I'll do number 10 to number 6, basically, very quickly, on my favourite movies. And then obviously you can
then we'll go into
one
detail
well.
On your top 5.
Yes. So in number 10 place for me, My Father's Dragon, the new film from Cartoon Saloon. A quieter, more subdued movie from then, but still a wonderfully told story about a young boy who moves to a new city and then discovers an island that has a dragon that's trying to actually become a bigger dragon. It's a delightful, delightful movie, and one that has got a really positive message about, you know, finding yourself and being who you are. And it's a coming of age story as well. Just loved it. Animation's delightful as well. So Cartoon Saloon, once again, in my top 10 films of the year, like they were in 2020 with Wolfwalkers. So My Father's Dragon. You can see it on Netflix, streaming on Netflix.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I think that was a Netflix one, wasn't it? It wasn't that long ago it came out, I think.
No, it wasn't. Like it really wasn't. Yeah. No, lovely film, lovely film. Number 9, Mad God, which is the film we reviewed.
Oh, yeah.
Just at the start of December, actually. It took 20-something years to get made. It's a stop-motion movie with no talking in it. It is bleak. It is miserable. It is harrowing. It is scary. It's all of those. And yet I loved it for its filmmaking. You know, it's just something I'd never seen before. And I was just blown away by it. I really was.
It's on my watch list because the the trailer just intrigued me. I was like, what is happening?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Basically, it's an assassin walking through what is ultimately like layers of hell. But as I said, it's all stop motion. That just, it blew me away. It's just, it's masterful stop motion animation. I thought it was amazing. So Mad God at number nine, that is streaming on Shudder. It's also available on DVD and Blu-ray as we speak.
Cool.
Number eight, Lynch Oz. The documentary that finds a link between the work of David Lynch and The Wizard of Oz.
Interesting. He's put a documentary in the list. Yeah. You were blown away by it.
I really was. I really thought this is something different here because it wasn't about, you know, characters. It wasn't about colour in it or anything else like that. It took a selection of filmmakers, including like John Waters and Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson, who I'm a big fan of, and asked them to do small little vignettes about what links it. So there was moments about the wind, or there was a segment about the wind. There was a segment about Judy and how all of these, how something in The Wizard of Oz is in David Lynch's movies. It's such a mind-blowing thing. You go, and why would David Lynch, who has made The Elephant Man, Mulholland Drive, you know, Inland Empire, Twin Peaks, have anything to do with The Wizard of Oz? Then you watch this documentary and you go, oh, fascinating. I sat there in awe of it because I'm going, I don't think this works. Oh, they're probably right on this one, actually. Probably right.
Really opened your eyes. If you're a big film fan and you love his work, then one to definitely get in your
DVD bank. I think that's what we said in the review, is if you are a huge film nerd, then this is a documentary for you. So Lynch Oz, at number eight, and that is, it's on digital download. You can stream it from all the paid people. It's also on DVD and Blu-ray as well now. That one. Number seven. Foreign language movie.
Oh, here we go. He's gone international.
Yeah. The Worst Person in the World.
Oh, this is the one about me. Yes.
It's not. No. So this is a movie about a young woman who's coming of age and realizing that actually maybe her love life is not what it is. It's a movie that is about romance, but isn't about romance. And it's a movie about finding oneself on their own, basically, as well. It's, for a long time, you think it's a normal movie, like a standard romance movie about a woman trying to find herself and trying to discover who she is. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it turns into a fantasy movie. Oh. Like there's elements of fantasy in it. And it takes it like otherworldly. And I'm just like, wow, this is really interesting filmmaking. You know, who thought about doing a romance film that would expand into an other world? And, you know, really liked this. It really captured my imagination of thinking outside the box. So I'm really impressed with this. I really like it. It's the new film from Joachim Trier. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. I thought this was a really interesting movie. So The Worst Person in the World at number seven for me. That is now available on DVD and Blu-ray.
Certainly not the worst film in the world then.
It's really not. It's really not. No, absolutely not. Number six, Nightmare Alley, which...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which Guillermo del Toro directed. It's a remake of the original film noir movie. This came out right at the start of the year and it came with quite a bit of fanfare, but just didn't do anything. You know, I kind of thought it would get awards nominations. It didn't do anything. And I'd said at the time that I think maybe this movie is going to open the door for more film noir movies to come through because it's about that time. And hopefully it does. But with this movie, it's such a clever film. It really is. It keeps you guessing as to what's really happening between the magician and his assistant and also the person who is involved with. It's a mystery movie. It's a bit of a romance movie as well.
I still haven't seen it, but it seems like one of those mind-bending films that you have to watch a few times.
I've seen it three times now, and I have to say with each repeat viewing, I get something new out of it. But then that's Del Toro himself anyway. You know, his movies stand up to repeat viewing. So I really like this because it's a very classic movie. As I said, film noir. If you like your film noir from the 1950s, 1940s, this remake is right up there. I'm a big fan of it. So Nightmare Alley at number six for me. It's on DVD and Blu-ray. It's also on Disney Plus now as well.
Of course. Yeah. Good place for it to be.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, it's also on Disney Plus. So yeah.
I'll add that to my viewing.
Yeah, please do. I'd be interested to know what you think. But as I said, you know, Guillermo del Toro, I'm a huge fan of his anyway. But this is...
He's had a big year this year,
expanding. He had Nightmare Alley at the start of the year. Then he had his TV show on Netflix, Cabinet of Curiosities, which I'm big fan of, yeah, because lovely. It kind of felt like the Twilight Zone being redone, which is great. And then obviously he had Pinocchio earlier this month, actually. So he's been a busy guy this year, but that's no bad thing in my book because he is one of the great film directors. But yeah, going back to Nightmare Alley, number six in my top 10. And I'm really pleased it's there, actually, to be honest. But listen, I've been talking.
Excellent.
Can you tell me one of yours?
Well, I can. I've thought long and hard about my top films this year, and before I tell you, for our radio listeners, this is or any of my top five, I'm going to play you a song from my top five, my number five film this year. I'm sure you'll guess what it is as soon as it starts, and you'll probably want to sing along. And if you're not listening on the radio version and you're only on the podcast, we'll crack on. Number five in my list of top films was Encanto.
I
know it's for kids, but I absolutely loved it. I thought it was such a cool little story. It was different to all the stuff that Disney usually do. And the music in it, I mean, these songs have been in my head for... ever since the beginning. I think it came out February, wasn't it, at the beginning of the year?
And, early film.
Yeah, I've not been talking about Bruno the whole time, but it's Lin-Manuel Miranda did the music. It was great. I really liked the soundtrack and colorful animation and stuff. Liked Encanto.
See, it's interesting because I was not a fan of it, but you are. But it's found a massive audience. Like, you know, you could make a case for it being a new Frozen, really.
Yeah, I felt like it was. And it's almost a bit more accessible, I think, to normal people. I feel like Encanto opens up a bit of a wider audience. You're not necessarily like the princess in the tower with the big rich parents and the big castle. It's like normal family, and we're all playing a part in the family. And some people, I liked the angles they took in Encanto. And I love a kids'
Excellent.
Film, you know.
But... as much as we say, you know, kids animation, animation's for all.
Yeah.
It is. I'm sorry, it is. You know, unfortunately, the hierarchy at Disney seem to think that animation's for kids. It's not. It's for all.
Yeah. So that was it. That was number five in my top five.
Nice. Give us another one. Go on.
Shall I go further up the list?
Just to see. Okay. Yeah, just to see. Okay.
So number four, I've gone for Operation Mincemeat, which is a little bit more grown up, of course. it's a World War II drama, obviously about unearthing one of those stories from World War times that I didn't have any idea about. And I do love it when they do that. It's got Colin Firth in it, Matthew McFadden, Kelly MacDonald. It was a great take, sort of eye-opener as to the ordinary people do and how much impact it had on the grand course of what happened in World War II. And I thought it was a little bit John le Carré towards the end. It got a bit confusing. But if you just sort of went with it and rode it to the end, I thought it was a great little story.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I like this film a lot. As you said, underrated, understated as well. A small little British movie, but a really good cast. As you said, Colin Firth, Matthew McFadden, Kelly MacDonald in there as well. I'm in agreement with you. Clever movie.
Nice.
Weekend at Bernie's, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, it was. Really
Weekend at Bernie's for World War Two.
It was one of those that kind of made you feel like, I wish I was around then, because it looked like... Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously, he had all the backdrop of the war, which is horrific. But if you were going to the the gentlemen's bows and the dancing. Oh, suits are good fun, actually.
That's a good choice. That's a good choice. I like that, yeah.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Do you want number three? Shall... Or are you doing number five?
Listen, I'm going to throw one in here, okay?
Yeah, go on, so go on.
Number five in my favourite films of the year. It's another foreign language movie.
Oh.
RRR.
RRR. Is this like a sequel to RSVP?
So RRR is basically Rodram Ranan Rudiram. I believe I've pronounced that
wrong. Wow.
I apologize. Now that well is done. In Telugu, yep. Right? If you translate it, if you officially translate it, it means rage, war, blood. But the English translation is rise, roar, revolt. Okay. It is. Yeah, I know. I'm just giving you some history here. That's all I'm doing. It's an Indian movie that's on Netflix, and it cost about $69 million. It looks like it cost about $300 million. It's all singing, all dancing, war movie.
Nice.
Okay. Right. Okay. I know. It sounds bizarre, and it is. And it's a very violent movie as well. This is the thing. Like, yeah, it's non-stop.
Just looking at the pictures. There's a lot of
it's non-stop violence, but at the same time, a lot of the fighting is done through singing and dancing.
Oh, that sounds incredible.
It's amazing. It was basically a movie that was released in March and slowly found an audience. And I saw it probably in the summer, and I was like, this is amazing. This is absolute. It's like The Raid meets Mamma Mia. Okay. That's just two of the films I could describe it as. So it is, you know, it is a Bollywood movie, but this is one that has broken out and gone further than anything else. You know, it's just... It is loosely based on a true story about two Indian rebels who are fighting against British colonialism. As I said, it's just, you watch it and you go, wow, this is spectacular action. This is fantastic. Oh, they're going to have a sing and a dance. Oh, wow. Okay. And then there's a romance in there as well. There's bromance as well. The two guys in it are incredibly good looking. I'm just watching it going, everything about this movie shouldn't work, but it does.
Yeah.
The thing, you know.
A war musical. I mean, it's, wow.
Yeah, yeah. A war musical romance. Oh, there's some comedy in there as well. There's a lot of animals in there as well. You know, obviously you were joking about me liking the fact that Idris Elba fights a lion. Well, let me tell you what happens here. Somebody throws a tiger. I'm not joking. Somebody throws a tiger at one of their enemies. Yeah.
That's how you win the battle, isn't it?
Yeah. it shouldn't work. As I said, it's just non-stop action. It really is. It's so much fun. It's going to have you laughing along. It's going to have you clapping your hands to the song and dance numbers. I mean, literally, there is a dance battle in it.
Oh, amazing.
A dance battle. Yeah, it's just fantastic. And I love the fact that it has broken out and, you know, that it's just found so many people. It's such a good movie. It really is. I
proper dance battle till since you and me fell out.
Yeah. it's great. It's so much fun. So much fun. And it's 3 hours and 12 minutes. And let me tell you now, it flies by. Absolutely flies by. There is no down moment. There is no quiet moment at all. So, yeah, at number five, RRR, aka Rise, Roar, Revolt. It is streaming on Netflix. Highly worth 3 hours of your time.
So this is interesting because I don't think we've reviewed this in the podcast. So this shows there are so many great films we don't necessarily get around to reviewing in the podcast. Yeah. So keep your eyes peeled.
But this is the prime example of, as I said, you know, it came out in March. It was just dumped onto Netflix because people were like, why do we want to watch this movie? It just doesn't seem to work. You know, Bollywood movies are big business, but only to that set of fans. This has broken out of that. And this has found fandoms around the world. So it slowly found its audience. It slowly found its audience. And now I think if you look around, there'll be a lot of people putting this in their favourite films of the year.
Awesome. RRR on Netflix. I'm going to have to watch this.
You're going to have to. You're going to honestly, you're going to have to. When you watch it, you've got to tell me about it. And if anybody else watches it, please let us know what you think to it. I just think it's brilliant. I really do. It's so much fun.
See, it's another animal being thrown at someone, and you know, you just go to the zoo more often, Mark.
I should. Can I just say as well, it is a CGI animal in this, okay?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just in case anybody's worried, it is a CGI animal.
Well, yeah, would you want the job of throwing the actual tiger?
No, I wouldn't. Yeah. Listen, let me tell you, when you see it, it's not just like there's one tiger either. They unleash hordes of dangerous animals on their enemies. It's just see the film. Just see the film. Honestly.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So that was your number five?
Number five.
Five? Oh, who's number four? Yeah. Who's in the top four?
Number five. So number four, The Northman.
Oh, yes.
With Alexander Skarsgård, directed by Robert Eggers, which is obviously a story looking at a young lad who saw his father killed and then went to seek revenge. Basically, it was kind of Gladiator, but set in Scandinavia and a lot more violent.
Yeah, I was thinking that Gladiator with a bit more fur on.
A bit more fur, but also less clothes. Like, Skarsgård is nearly naked all the way through it. But it is...
Fair enough. I can imagine that probably went down well.
It's fine with me. It's fine with me. It's not a problem for me. He's a good-looking guy. I just thought this was absolutely fantastic. It's relentless. It's non-stop action, but violent action as well. There's so much blood in this as well. There is a fantasy element to it as well, which I know some people had a problem with, but I thought it was fantastic because it played into Norse gods mythology and it kind of became this out-of-body experience as well for the main character, Amleth, and all of this thing. And then it finishes on, I mean, the finale is just amazing, absolutely amazing, where Amleth is fighting this guy who he thinks killed his father. And they're basically fighting in what is a lava pit.
Whoa. Okay.
And they are nearly naked. So it's fire and brimstone and they are fighting with swords. And it is just relentless. It really is. It looks incredible as well. I just thought, wow, this is cinematography. You know, this is real cinematography. The soundtrack's fantastic. The cast are all brilliant as well. And it was bold filmmaking. Like, a Hollywood studio had financed this. And it was bold. It was bloodthirsty. It was violent. And I'm like, how did he even get this made? How did Robert Eggers get this film made? I mean, all credit to him. But yeah. I mean, I saw it on the big screen. And I was going, wow. This looks incredible, and wow, what a story to tell as well. So, you know, it's one of those movies where I just thought, blimey, this is relentless. This is nice. Not letting up at all. I mean, RRR does that, but in a very jovial comedy action type way. But this is different. This is full on in your face. Here we go. We're going to throw blood at the screen. You're going to see everything as well. I mean, just outstanding. Outstanding movie.
The Northman. If you haven't got time to watch Gladiator, then this is just a bit shorter. So, you know, take an hour to yourself. Just the 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And worth it. Absolutely worth it. It really is. So The Northman, my fourth favourite movie of the year. It is now available on DVD and Blu-ray. I'm not sure if it's streaming everywhere. I didn't look that up. But yeah, it's on DVD and Blu-ray. And 4K as well. It looks amazing in 4K.
I was going to say, yeah, but it does look like it's got some amazing like scenes and backdrops and places and locations.
Yes.
Cool. Yes. Oh, nice.
Yes.
On the watch list.
Have you got one on your list that says bloodthirsty and
as bloodthirsty
revenge-y? Or not?
This one involves a murder. My number three is See How They Run, which it's not really bloodthirsty, but there is a murder on a stage, and it's very tongue in cheek and very silly, really. And I just love the pace of the film. It has Saoirse Ronan in it. She plays this sort of like geeky, slightly overzealous detective who's just copying everything the main guy is doing, and to be a hilarious effect. And yeah, I loved this. It felt a bit like not too far off what they're doing with Knives Out and Glass Onion, like taking a murder mystery vibe and just flipping it all inside out. And the way they tell the story, the way it all unfolds at the end, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but as you get to the ending, you can't help laugh because you think, oh, should have seen this coming. But it was just brilliant. And it's,
now, can I say, I haven't seen this. But people who I know, fellow film critics who I know who have seen it, have said the same thing of you. It's quite a fun murder mystery. I'm interested to see this. You know, I've had fellow film critics tell me this. You've now told me this as well. So I'm interested to see it. And I noticed that it is streaming now on Disney Plus, and it's on DVD and Blu-ray. So it is everywhere. So maybe in the new year, you watch, well, before the new year commences, that's in a couple of days, you watch RRR, I will watch, see how they run.
That sounds like a deal. Yes. And we'll combine forces as to...
We'll compare notes and then say, thank you for recommending that movie, or I don't like you anymore. But that's nice that that's in there.
Interesting you should say about comparing notes, because Saoirse Ronan spends most of the film taking notes on everything. Absolutely everything, which is a wonderful touch. Like,
she's a brilliant actress anyway, isn't she? She's wonderful. I mean, we've said this quite a few times when we've reviewed movies with her in, that she's fantastic. And, you know, it's slightly underrated, I think, at times. So good to hear. Good to hear. Yeah.
Nice. So we've reached the top two. You're going first, or I'm going first?
Top three.
Top three? Oh, that was my top.
Top three.
That was my third. So your top three. Who's in your top three?
So my third favourite film of the year, Cyrano.
Oh, the one about the ham.
No. No. It's the big screen adaptation of the Edmund Ronstadt play that had previously, in 2019, been done on stage by Peter Dinklage and Hayley Bennett, who star in the movie, basically.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize they've been in this show as well.
Yeah, they've been in the show. So this came out in February. I loved it then. I still love it now. It's a movie that understands the characters individually and collectively, but also understands the pains of unrequited love, basically. You know, it's a romance drama that hits every single emotion and feeling about being in love. I mean, honestly, it's the type of movie that you fall in love with, really. I mean, I thought it was fantastic. It's not really my demographic that it's aimed at. It's not really my type of movie either, to be honest with you, because it is mainly a musical.
Okay.
Everything about it surprised me and just made me fall in love with it. The fact that obviously they've changed Cyrano de Bergerac, but in this film it's pronounced as Cyrano. They've changed it from the nose to his height, because Cyrano is played by Peter Dinklage, who obviously Game of Thrones. He's really funny in this. He's sarcastic as well. He's kind of like a comedian slash rapper in it.
He's so great at delivering funny lines, isn't he?
He's fantastic. But he's brilliant.
Clearly do the serious stuff as well. He's brilliant.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, absolutely. And then his performance opposite Hayley Bennett's Roxanne is just, it goes hand in hand, basically. It just works naturally and perfectly, and you want them to be together, but actually Cyrano won't tell her that it's him writing the letters instead of Christian, and beautiful, and I'm in floods of tears. I saw it in the cinema in 2021 towards the end of the year, and I'd been banging on about since seeing it then, and then it came out in February, and I'm still banging on about it now at the end of the year. I love it. The soundtrack was written and produced by The National, you know, the band.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they did the soundtrack to it. I love the songs. They're very tender. And Dinklage's baritone voice works perfectly with Hayley Bennett's soprano voice as well. It's the type of soundtrack you could listen to on its own. Like what you were saying about Encanto.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, I've had the soundtrack on for all the time.
Great.
That's the same with Cyrano. I honestly love this movie. I've not been this moved in the cinema for many years. It's an outstanding adaptation. As I said, I've watched it four or five times now, and every time I still get emotional about it. I just think this is sensational. I really do. yeah, it's a movie that really got my heart. So Cyrano, my third favourite movie of the year. It is now available on DVD. Sadly, only DVD, which is ridiculous.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it is also streaming on Prime Video. So if you have Prime Video, it's on there as well.
Oh, cool. It's in my list. I still haven't got around to watching it, but it did look good from the trailer when you reviewed it back in February. Yeah. Nice. Oh, so we're both onto our top two now. Before we do our top two, tell me.
Oh, go on. Yeah, yeah.
I just want to know if there's any particular memories you have of going to the cinema this year. Because I went to see this, one of the films in my top two, relatively recently. And I went with my sister. And we're always busy. So I had to rush to get there from the studio here to make it in time for the film. And we're going to have dinner first. There's loads of traffic. Took me ages. And she said, it's all right, I'll bring your food with us. And we'll have it just before we go to the cinema. Didn't have enough time for that. So ended up eating in the cinema a plate of full dinner. roast potatoes. Didn't. And
what?
Yeah. Roast potatoes, beef, peas. We didn't bother with the gravy, but it was on a plate. I was sitting there watching the film we're about to talk about in my top two.
I'm having tea.
I thought she was going to say, like, she was going to turn up with a sandwich. You know, she said, I'll bring you dinner with you. I was like, cool, yeah. And then she just produced from a bag this plate. And it's enough. I was like, you having a laugh. So, one of my most magical memories of 2022 in a cinema was eating a plate of dinner. I'd love to have known their reaction if they saw me on the camera. Go, what is that guy doing?
I really don't know what to say to this. I really don't.
It's a moment. It's a moment. You know, you think you've done everything in life and then you do that.
So is the fact that the film that you saw while you were watching this movie in your second favourite movie of the year based on the fact that it's a good movie or based on the fact that it was good food?
Oh, no, I can't really tell you much about the food, to be honest, because I was sort of just
right.
focusing on the movie, and I'm not entirely sure I hit the target with all the food.
I'm picturing it now, you in the cinema with a plate and a knife and fork cutting through your beef and your mashed potatoes, potatoes and your peas, and while you're looking up, I mean...
It was incredible.
The mind boggles what you do, Mr. Pink. The mind boggles. I mean, I thought it was bad that I did weird things in the cinema, you know, but then I go to the cinema a lot. You don't go to the cinema that much, and yet you've eclipsed anything, I can tell you now, by saying I had my tea.
Full
roast dinner. Amazing. Thank you.
It's the way forward, so
what was
though,
the
I'll
film?
Tell you.
Is it? No, it's not. It's really not. Stop doing that. No. So listen, what's the film? Tell me what the film was had your roast dinner for.
It was certainly enhanced by it. It was the sort of film you couldn't take your eyes off of. So I was not looking away and I sort of missed the plate a couple of times. Avatar, The Way of Water in 3D. Just the most immersing film. Yeah, I feel like you're not even in the room, but you sort of are because you're eating a beef for dinner. But it was... I just loved the film. I felt like you have to keep reminding yourself you're watching it in 3D because it's like you could easily forget you're just sitting in the cinema watching it and you're not in it yourself. But I loved they had a lot of pressure after so much build up and so much waiting around for the sequel to actually come to be. But the stuff they did underwater, and I think Avatar has put a bit of a benchmark on where we're going to go with cinema from here on.
Which is no bad thing because, you know, you loved it. It's one of your favourite movies of the year. I loved it as well. I thought it was fantastic. I think, you know, we both came out of that movie going, wow, that's spectacular.
Yeah.
That's cinema, that is, you know. And you know, I think that's right. It's a blockbuster movie that did what you wanted it to do. It wanted, you know, you wanted it to wow you and it did, which is great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the only thing I would love to have done and see I had differently is the earphone experience. I don't know if that's a thing they do, but I feel like we've got there with 3D now. 3D is just amazing. If you can have little earphones they give you or headphones they put on you, then you could have the 3D sounds as well as the 3D views. I think that would then change it completely.
Even more.
Yeah.
Right. Well, listen, write a letter to James Cameron. He might do it for the next Avatar movie.
But it's an idea,
interesting
Jane.
Idea. Yeah, that's an interesting idea, though, the full immersive experience. But then I guess people would say to you, well, that's VR.
Yeah, I suppose. This is it. Yeah. Did they do that yet? Is there an option? I can see that being a thing. View VR.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, good choice, though.
Big chains.
Good choice. Good
thank you. Like what's your number two? And did you enjoy it with a full roast
number
dinner?
Number two, there's no food involved in this one, to be honest with you. No food involved here. I think probably to nobody's surprise at all, it's another Guillermo del Toro movie. Guillermo del Toro's version of Pinocchio, basically.
Oh, nice.
You know, this is a very different movie. It's almost a horror movie. Because what we have here is a story about Pinocchio, who obviously still wants to be a real boy here. But that to him, that means signing up to Mussolini's army and going out and fighting in the big world. And it's a story about fascism. It's a story about the National Party taking over Italy. That's not the type of story you associate with Pinocchio.
No. Grown up.
Guillermo del Toro has gone, well, forget that. This is the story I'm telling. I'm telling a very adult story. And it is dark, but it is very real. It's shining a light on things that happened at that time, but also it's still happening to this day as well. So you have a movie that, while it is a stop motion animation, it is telling a very real story about somebody who has been, I guess, you know, almost to a certain degree taken in by conspiracy theories. And that's what you have here, a young boy taken in by it and thinking, this is the way that I should be growing up. You know, he's almost like a war-ready, rebellious Pinocchio.
I thought when you were doing the review for this the other week, that it sounds like he's really kind of struck on a chord with the themes he's tackling there.
Yeah.
For a new generation of kid.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I was really struck by this because I think it's just a different take on it completely. The animation's amazing. Stop motion animation is absolutely stunning. I suspect it's going to win plenty of awards as well, deservedly so. It's a different style of stop motion animation. It stands out a mile. It really does. It's beautiful. And, you know, I'd said to you at the time when we reviewed it that this movie, this version of Pinocchio, is now my favourite. It still is. I think eventually it will become the version to watch for adults. I'm going to use the same word I used when we reviewed it, and that is timeless.
Nice.
I don't see this movie aging at all. I still think it will be the movie that we talk about in 10 or 20 years. And it is, I think it is probably one of Del Toro's best movies to date.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, top three Del Toro movies, probably. You know, Pan's Labyrinth, always number one. Pan's Labyrinth is a masterpiece. This, top three, I would say, really.
Amazing. And in your opinion, without any spoilers as to what your best film is it the best film involving Pinocchio this year?
Yes, it absolutely is.
It's been about three.
Oh, do you remember when we reviewed the one earlier this year that had Tom Hanks in it? And I said to you, this is awful, absolutely awful. Thankfully, the Pinocchio story has been saved by Guillermo del Toro.
That's just what he thought. He was like, we can't have that. That's not that.
Yeah, exactly. Just wait. Bide your time. You know, thankfully he has. And now it's my second favourite film of 2022. It's streaming on Netflix. So nice and easy to see.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, I'll have to get that watched.
Yes. So tell me, your number one film. I'm wondering if we've matched up here.
Oh,
I don't know.
We'll
but I'm curious to know what you've got as your favourite film of the year.
My favourite film of the year. It's another one that's taken a very long time to come. And I think everyone has written off ever getting one, a sequel. But I absolutely loved it for all the reasons that I loved the first one. It just sort of took it back to being a kid again. And pure action and thrill and the way films should be. There's no sad ending. It's all good. And everybody wins by the end. Top Gun Maverick.
Ooh, what a choice.
Oh, just, I mean, I know everybody went to see it in cinema, basically. It was like, did amazingly well.
It did. It really did. Yeah.
Just like the old days. Oh, yes, go on. Go on, Maverick. Yeah.
But the thing was, with that movie, it tapped into the nostalgia of the original, but also it felt a lot more modern. That was the thing as well.
I was worried when it started up and they used the same theme track. Well, they were doing the big flight scenes.
Yeah.
And we still went to the danger zone. And I thought, oh, are we going to be just repeating the original?
But yes.
This got so much new stuff, a whole new story. And it, like you say, lots of nostalgia, but at the same time, it's a whole film by itself.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, when I reviewed it, I said to you, I think this is fantastic. It's such a good movie. It's a sequel that we've been waiting for, and it has delivered. And as you said, it's delivered the box as well. I mean, they delayed it and they delayed it and they delayed it. And it was the right decision in the end, because it looked amazing on the big screen, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, and we got to see, I don't know if you got to see this, but they kind of extend the screen. So it's like around the edge.
Yeah.
And at first that started, I thought, well, this is going to be strange. But in the flight sequences, when you got like almost 180 view, you just feel like you're in a plane. It's, oh, this is amazing. Big sounds. Oh, loved it. Loved it.
Tom Cruise, the master.
He is.
Of action cinema. Let's be honest. I mean, the guy is 60-something now and yet still doing movies like this. Fantastic. Great choice, really.
Has he
really
still got
good
it?
Choice.
Yes, he has.
He has, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. No, great choice. And, you know, it's such a good movie. It really is. Such a good movie.
Get me in one of them planes any day. Oh, it'd be so amazing.
You wouldn't last a minute.
I wouldn't. No, I'd be throwing up. I'd pass out before it took off.
Yes. Yeah, the same here. Yeah.
So, Mark, what is your top film in 2022? I feel like we need a drum roll.
It's okay. It's not Top Gun Maverick. However, I do appreciate that you put that there and, you know, yes, absolutely. My top movie of 2022 is The Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh, Ed Sheeran's film, yeah.
No, not Ed Sheeran's film. Stop putting people off. No, the story about two best friends in Ireland in 1923 who have been getting drunk together every single night. And then one night, one of them says, I never want to speak to you ever again because of what you've said and whatever else. And then he has to find out what he said. It's a comedy for about 40 minutes, and it is a very funny comedy as well. Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, who are back together again after their brilliant turn in Bruges several years ago, are really funny here, like naturally funny. It's great. Then, after about 40 minutes, you realise the film has turned, and what's happened is, buried deep in amongst the comedy and whatever else, is coming forward a story about male depression.
Mm.
And it's one of those movies where you go, well, that doesn't sound like fun. But it is. It's really interesting. You know, you've got somebody here who would rather do something to their own body than speak out about the struggles that they have. And I'm like, wow, how do you even put that into a movie? But they've done it. That's the thing. You know, it is a very serious movie about men struggling with depression, but done through a comedic lens.
Amazing.
Like, this is such a clever idea.
Yeah. Such an important thing filmmaking. To do. And such a great way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because this is the type of film that I would guess a lot of men will go and see. Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson, you know, that's a very male-centric cast.
Men's men, aren't they? Yeah.
Men's men, exactly. Whatever that means in this day and age. But there you have a story where it's going, it's okay. You can speak to people. But these two don't speak to people. That's the thing, you know. So I thought this was fantastic. You know, Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson are amazing in it. Barry Keogh almost steals the movie with his secondary character role. I thought that was brilliant. Kerry Condon is amazing in this. Everything she says you agree with, basically. Writer-director Martin McDonagh, who did In Bruges and did Seven Psychopaths, has reunited with Farrell and Gleeson and made, I think, probably his best film, to be honest with you. You know, I could talk about this brilliant movie for hours. I think it is one of the most honest and funny and yet serious depictions of men and their egos, and also depression and how it can hit in very different ways. It's hilarious. It's heartfelt as well. Just a brilliant movie, a brilliant, brilliant movie that, you know, doesn't have special effects, doesn't have anything else. It's about actors acting and about a very serious subject. Yet there's comedy here.
Brilliant. So the Banshees of Inisherin, I mean, the backdrop and the locations they filmed this in looks amazing too.
Stunning. Yeah. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. Yeah. Actually filmed it in Ireland and it looks amazing as well. Yep.
Awesome. So is this on streaming now?
This is now streaming on Disney Plus, and it's going to be on DVD and Blu-ray in the new year. But yeah, it's streaming on Disney Plus. So it's there.
Wonderful. See, so there's all these films, all these special effects and all this big animation, and you went for an old school film about a big subject done right. That's your top film.
Yeah, absolutely. Well played. Just because, you know, the subject matter is important, and when it's done right, you connect with it. And that's the thing. I watched this and I was like, wow, this is fantastic. You know, there's a real connection here, and they're really saying something, and they're being open and honest about it and very forthright about it. And that's what film can do. Film can take these very difficult subjects and show them in a way that you go, okay, I understand it now.
And that's the thing about it. And educates at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. So Banshees of Inisherin, my favourite movie of 2022.
Wow. There's been some good films, 2022.
I
think it's a good year for cinema and movies as a whole.
Well, cinema refound its feet again, basically. You know, Top Gun Maverick showed that with the amount of money it took. And then also other movies that came out of nowhere. I think did very well.
Going into pandemics, we were worried about cinemas, but I think coming out this year with films like Top Gun and Avatar, I think you can show you can do more in a cinema than you can do at home, and people still want to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And even a film like Nope, you know, Jordan Peele's horror sci-fi movie, which did big business as well. You know, to be honest with you, most people will watch that and go, it's a sci-fi movie, it's a horror movie, it's pretty simple as well. But people wanted to see it on the big screen, which is great. Yeah. So as you said, you know, when you want to see a movie, people will go out their way to see it. They will go and see it on the big screen. The big screen experience is like unlike anything else. We can all sit at home and we can all watch the movies because they're on streaming. But seeing it on the big screen, as you'd said with your Avatar review, it's that immersive experience.
Exactly. And I think 2022 has been a year for streamers as well, really, isn't it? Because we've seen the change in speed, and we can get things faster now. You don't have to be waiting.
Absolutely.
Good year. Thanks for that. Oh, there's been some stuff I've forgotten about that I'm going to go back and revisit and watch that I'd missed. And there's still so many in my list that I didn't see. I haven't seen the Batman movie, which I think might have made it. There's some stuff that we haven't had time to watch.
No, it's true. Yeah.
Lovely. What do you reckon 2023 is going to have in store for us?
Well, there's so much coming down the pipeline next year. There is so much coming. I mean, it's just nonstop. You know, if you thought there was a lot this year, wait until next year. However, I picked out three movies that I think we'll probably be talking about in some shape or form by the end of 2023. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Early pick.
So one of the picks is Oppenheimer, the new Christopher Nolan movie about the man who invented the atomic bomb.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
So Christopher Nolan has made this movie. What he's done is he's shot it all on IMAX. So just picture this. When the bomb goes off, it's all shot in IMAX. Whoa. It's going to be huge. Yeah. This looks like another intelligent movie from Christopher Nolan. So very interested to see that. Stars Cillian Murphy in the lead role as well. So Oppenheimer. Yeah, Oppenheimer in cinemas in July. And the same week Oppenheimer comes out in cinemas. If you're thinking, I'm not going to watch Oppenheimer, maybe the film for you is out that same week. Barbie, the live-action movie starring Margot Robbie as Barbie and Ryan Gosling as Ken.
Oh, wow. I saw the trailer for this the other day. And I thought to myself, this is going to be very popular.
You just look at that trailer and go, I don't know what's going on, but I'm intrigued by it.
Imagine being asked to play Ken. I'm not sure what would go through your mind.
I know, exactly. But, I mean, exactly.
Brilliant casting.
So I get the feeling we'll be talking about this. I don't know what shape or form, whether it would be good, whether it would be bad, whether it would be, what were they thinking? but it's certainly a movie that will get a lot of buzz next year. However, I think the film that we know about, the films that we know about, the one film that has generated the most buzz so far, and I think the most people are so excited for, is Indiana Jones.
What? There's another one?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, there's a new Indiana Jones movie coming at the end of June. It has been filmed. A lot of it was filmed in Scotland, actually.
Ah, so brilliant.
So Harrison Ford is back, and he's brought a family member with him, but it's not his son, thankfully. Instead, this family member is played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh.
You know, from Fleabag.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool twist.
Yeah, so I think that's the movie that most people are probably excited about for 2023, Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones 5. I can't remember the title off the top of my head, but Indiana Jones 5. I mean, we could say it's number 4 because there wasn't a fourth film, but some people will tell us that we're wrong. But,
don't open that can of worms now.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's another brilliant one I'm looking forward to. You know, the hat and the whip will be back. Brilliant.
Yeah. Let's be honest, they never left.
They didn't. No, absolutely not. They were just put in storage. They were just put in storage along with the Ark of the Covenant. And thankfully, they've opened the right box and got the hat and the whip rather than the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's all it is. Fantastic. Well, Mark, thanks for sharing your best top picks of 2022. Thanks for a year of great films. You've sifted through all the terrible ones and give us the best ones. And
well, I'm not sure about that. We did have some terrible ones as well.
There were some terrible ones.
Yeah, there was a few. Yeah.
But some great ones as well. If you want to send us yours, it would be great to receive your top picks and some of the films you've been watching. So you could always find us on social media. Mark, where do we find you?
So I'm on Twitter, Mark_Searby. You can send it to me. Obviously, you're on Twitter as well.
I'm there and everywhere else at Stewpink, StewPink. It would be great to receive some messages, kind or otherwise. That's the otherwise is more fun, isn't it, really?
Well, I don't know. It depends. If they're going to come and tell me that you know, some of my picks are wrong, then...
Yeah, do that. How could you possibly pick that, Mark? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, have a lovely new year. It's been a blast. And I've enjoyed going for a swim underwater, sitting in the back of a Harrier jet and operations involving mincemeat.
Or everything in between as well, basically.
Idris
Elba punching a lion. But look, shall we do it all again next week? Shall we start afresh next week?
Yeah. There'll be new films out, no doubt, as well. So we'll
there
get
will be.
Back no
there
rest for the wicked.
There isn't. Absolutely not. Yeah. So, thanks, Stuart. Thanks for everybody listening throughout the year as well. Hopefully you picked up a film or two based on our recommendations.
Yeah. And if you didn't, then let us know, because we'll probably watch it and think, oh, yeah.
Might have a go.
We'll give that a go. Excellent. Well, I'll see you in 2023.
Will do.
Film reviews and movie news with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.